6, and I thought it was very relevant to turn to in these days. Maybe you would turn there now with me, Daniel chapter 6. And if you're there now, you will see that Daniel was a man who was very acceptable to people in general. No, he wasn't acceptable to everyone, but he was very acceptable to people in general. You'll see here in verse 3 of chapter 6 that it says that he was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. That was all to do with his relationship with God, and it made him as a man. Well, his reliability stood out. He could be depended upon. His acceptability was very much to the forefront because the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And another thing that was important was his availability. And therefore he had a very high position in the land. And as we come to verse 4, there are some. And I said the Bible says some things that seem to conflict one with the other, but they're not really when you study them through the whole Bible. It says in the Word of God that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that can happen, but it also says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. So that seems to be just the opposite. Well, this was the situation here with Daniel. He had found acceptance with the king, but not with everyone. Look at verse 4 of Daniel chapter 6. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They knew what he was and what he believed. It says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. There's an empty flattery, because that's what it was. All the presidents of the kingdoms and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Therefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. We'll end it there tonight, the reading, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Most of what I say tonight will be based upon what we read in verse 10. We're just going to ask the Lord now to use the word to speak to our hearts at this time. Lord, we're grateful again tonight for the Bible that we have to teach us or to show us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who can give us a teachable spirit. And Lord, tonight we pray that the Lord would be pleased to do that. And what we say and the thoughts that we share, we pray that they might strengthen the heart of all who've gathered here. Lord, in days when some are fainting and very many are very worried, Lord, we pray in these days that our confidence might be in the Lord and that we might be encouraged tonight through what he says to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel is one of those outstanding characters. There, of course, are hymns, and his name is mentioned there. And he goes down in the annals of history as one of the great men of God. But you know, Daniel was a very ordinary character in many respects. And the thing that set him aside was his faithfulness to the Lord. Now, if you look in chapter 1 and verse 3, you'll see that there's every indication that Daniel very possibly was a prince. And therefore, he knew what it was to have a prominent position already. But whenever his country was invaded by the Babylonians and he was taken away captive, along with the other people, in an amazing way, he was given a very prominent position by the Babylonians. In chapter 5 of Daniel, you know the chapter very well, Babylon fell. Belshazzar was the young king at that time, and he was a rebellious tearaway, and judgment came upon them, and it fell. The Medes and Persians were now in control, and Darius was the key player. And Darius here, even in this chapter 6, I've already mentioned this to you, Darius made him one of his main men. Now, if you know anything about the Medes and Persians, just to quote one of the Bible commentators, they said that the Medes and Persians were among the haughtiest aristocracies of the ancient world. In other words, they thought there were no mess, and they knew it all, and they didn't need anyone. And yet Darius, he come to this man, Daniel, and there's a great spirit in him. He's reliable. People like him. He's acceptable. And he's available to do what he can that will help those around him. However, as we said earlier on, not everyone liked him. And from verse 4, you see there that there were those who were plotting his downfall, and they looked at his life, and they couldn't point the finger. He had a good testimony, and that is a tremendous position for him to be in, or for any of us to be in, when they couldn't rightly point the finger at him. So they began to scheme. And in order for their scheming to come to fruition, they needed to have the king on side. So they come and they say, "O King Darius, live forever." And then we've had this great thought, and we're going to make this decree, and I just need you to sign it and to seal it. And then the rest of their plot would unfold what they had in their heads regarding the destruction of Daniel. It's an amazing thing too, folks. Here was a man, and he had the best interest of people at heart. And yet wicked men didn't like that. They didn't like that because under the providence of God, he was more favoured than they were, even by King Darius himself. And Christians who are going on with the Lord, whether they're young or old, sometimes God can give you amazing favour with people. And in that position, he can use you. But do bear in mind, please, that even with Daniel, he didn't have favour with everyone. And that would often be the case even right up to this day. And as I look at verse 10, folks, I was thinking of just the conversations that I had with a couple of brethren in the ministry this week, talking to them since I was last talking to you. And we were just discussing the present situation with the pandemic. And they were saying, you know, that now all these months later, 10 months or whatever it is, and with a great deal of uncertainty still ahead of us. And yes, we notice that the medical people are speaking in slightly different tones. Of course, they're still telling the figures and so on. But they're saying now there's a bit of hope for a much better time in the spring, and certainly by the summer. And even one of them said, almost certainly, things will be much, much better by the winter time again. And they know, these people know a lot more about medical things than I do, but they know that now, all these mental problems that people were talking about are starting to surface. And the gentlemen, the brethren that I was talking to, they knew different people who normally were very, very steadfast, but now they've become very fragile. And it's just not that anything was particularly affecting them in an adverse way, but just being out among people and the tension that there is, the restrictions that there is, and just the whole thing going on and on and on, it has had a wearing down effect. And hence you have people getting under it. And that can happen to any one of us. And that is why, folks, it's very, very important that we encourage each other, that we come and pray together when we can, that we meet together to worship the Lord. And if he can keep the door open for us, we'll be very grateful to him if he can do that through the rest of this crisis time. But as I looked at this verse, as I said, we were talking and we were
saying just how widespread now these different cases are starting to come up with people suffering from mental illness, depression, and from great stress and anxiety because of all of this. But I want tonight, as we look at verse 10, just for a few minutes here, a recipe for steadfastness in love and duty. A recipe for steadfastness in love and duty. Now, I'll just be really leaving the thoughts with you because we're just here for an hour. I want you to notice, first of all, here, there was fellowship that was deliberate. Daniel knew exactly what was happening. That's what it says in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew what a seal meant. And he knew what the writing meant too. It meant that he was not to pray to God and ask him for anything. And if he did, there were going to be dire consequences for him. But he made the determinate effort to go home and to get down on his knees before the Lord. It says there in the verse 10, as he did aforetime. Now, he's a man who had sought the Lord before in the past, and he's not showing arrogance here, I might add. He's just determined, and that's what it is. A determined resolve. If I was there, I might have run the other way. And I mean that. And I was thinking about that this evening. I thought about one time, a good number of years ago now, when I wasn't very long saved, and I was up at Dungannon. It was the time of the voting, and there were people on the other side of the road who shouted over at us. I was just talking to a few other men, very few, there's about five of us. And I'll just be honest with you, the ones on the other side of the road would not have been voting the way you would be voting. There were big fellas, like big GAA players, and they shouted you orange, and you know the rest of the story. And one of the boys that was with me, he stood forward and he said, "You wouldn't come over here and say that." And I thought, "Oh no, we're all dead," because it stopped. And then he said afterwards, "The poor lad that didn't come." And I was that. I would have been running as well. But that's just a mind thing compared to this, folks. Anyone here who did not go to the king with their petition, who went to God himself, and Daniel was the man and his friends that had a mind, he was dead. He was going to die. He was going into the den of lions. So there was that fellowship that was deliberate. In other words, he set himself. And when you look there and you see that he was looking towards Jerusalem, this was not just exhibitionism. It wasn't that at all. It was something that he'd done before, and before now in the city of Jerusalem, that had the temple, the mercy seat was there. And if you read yourself 1 Kings 8, I think it's verse 42 or 44 there, you will see about that time in the opening of the temple there, there's a dedication prayer that mentions looking towards Jerusalem. And that is significant because before there was ever a temple, there was a tabernacle, and in the tabernacle there was the Ark of the Covenant, there was the blood atonement, the sprinkling of blood there, there was the cherubim, and there was the Shekinah glory. The Lord was there. That's what I'm saying. The Lord was there. And the Jew recognized that he came to God on the ground of a blood sacrifice. And that's what Daniel was doing. He was looking toward Jerusalem and he was thinking, well, this whole situation with King Darius, it's going to possibly be the end of me. And I can't see really how this will not be. He said, but I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. He needed something to help him to remain steadfast. The boys I mentioned to you, if they'd come over to our side of the road, I would probably have run the other way. And so would the other boys, including the man who said you wouldn't come over here and say that. But, folks, steadfastness is something that only the Lord can give us. Steadfastness in love and duty. And he come before the Lord, and you and I, if you look, we'll look at it in John chapter 4. You might look there, please, where the Lord was speaking. The Lord Jesus was speaking with the woman at the well. In John 4, verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain." That was Gerizim, where they was the center of worship there for them. He says, "Neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, ye know what we worship,
for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's making it clear that up until Christ's sacrifice, it was right to worship in the way that they did. And it was right for Daniel to pray facing toward Jerusalem. Of course, he's making it clear to this woman that now Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. And men can come to him anywhere. You can come tonight before him, and I can come before him. And folks, we can come tonight in faith the way Daniel did, and we can pray for steadfastness. If you know some Christian tonight and they're struggling, and let's not be harsh on them. Let's pray for them and lift them up in prayer that the Lord might help them to be steadfast in their worship of the Lord and love for him and in their seeking to serve him. Of course, his worship here was pleasing to the Lord because it was on the ground, the basis of the sacrifice. God had blessed him before, he believed could bless him again. And he believed that God was as good as his word. And one day the captivity would end. And folks, one day the pandemic will end. Or it'll be almost all away. I know they're saying we'll always have it, but it will not always be like what it is now. And God has answered in very extreme circumstances before. And what you and I tonight, as his people want to do, need to do, in order that we remain steadfast in love to him and in our duty to him, is we need to have that fellowship that's deliberate. That's what you're doing tonight. Just keep on seeking him. Daniel here went down and he sought the Lord as he had done before. In other words, nothing changed. Verse 3, he's got a great job. Everybody loves him. Verse 4, they're out to get him. The following verses, they've got the king convinced that he needs to get him. And then when you read the verses after verse 10, you will see that he is taken and thrown in to the den of lions. There was that deliberate fellowship. And folks, that's what Northern Ireland needs. More than anything. For the problems that we have. There was here, secondly then, a honourable devotion. Just think of Daniel now. We said here there was fellowship that was deliberate. He went home and he set his face toward Jerusalem to seek the Lord. But whenever he went home there, his heart had to be in the right place. He opened his windows and he prayed out there. In other words, he wasn't going to be changing anything. But more than that, his heart devotion showed to other people. Because that is how they snared him. And they were able to go to the king and say that he was praying and that he was seeking the Lord. If you look there in verse 13. I'll just read quickly. Then answered they and said to the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. That's because he'd made the decree. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, what the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. We ought to pray, folks, for those in authority. Do you know what I see here? Even the king was coming under pressure from his peers. Even the king was coming under pressure from his peers. And we want to pray for those. And we need to pray for those who make decisions in the United Kingdom that are going to affect all of us. And it says there, the king commanded that they brought Daniel. He reluctantly did what they say. Verse 17, he's been thrown into the den of lions, and the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. They and the king, under pressure from them, were determined to see the end of what Daniel represented. What did he represent? He represented the Lord.
And we wouldn't say that about the pandemic, that there's anything in the pandemic that is determined to end your worship and mine. But there are lots of other things out there that are anti-Christian. And when we even think of the pandemic itself, this discouragement and anxiety and depression that we're talking about is very real, and the winter's only starting. And you see here in Daniel, not only fellowship that was deliberate, but there's a heart that was devoted. And folks, when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." People who used to come to prayer meetings in churches don't come now. It could be me next week. Are you the week after that? And it's a heart business. It's nothing, as I said, it was nothing to do with being seen or exhibitionism. And when the Lord blesses people, it's an unfortunate thing with man that sometimes when the Lord has been good to a people, they forget him. That's what Northern Ireland has done. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll just read really quickly. Talks there about great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 6. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be filled, all is good. Couldn't ask for more, but look at the next verse. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. And Northern Ireland for a long time has known what it was to now to be supplied of everything we need. We make some of more than others, that's for sure, but most of us, we get enough to get us by. People forget him. They forget him, and when they forget him, and I say this respectfully tonight, if Christians forget him, they forget about their heart needing to be devoted. You come out in an old bad night to seek the Lord because you know what I'm talking about. You know how important it is that our hearts are devoted to the Lord in prayer. And Daniel here, as I said, he had the people on his heart. There was great concern there, love for his countrymen. And folks, we have to love our neighbours. That's one of the commandments of the Lord. Love our neighbours as ourselves. And we don't look at their personalities, their behaviour, we don't like that, perhaps. But we need to love them for the Lord, and we need to have the concern for their general well-being. And that's a concern. There was his consistency. He prayed three times a day. Nothing changed with him. His heart was completely devoted to what he was doing. Over there in 1 Samuel, interesting passage, chapter 12. Samuel here is talking to people who sometimes were thankless to him. He says there in verse 23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." That I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The Lord has given us our day, the people all around us. They are not concerned, but we must be concerned. And we need to be consistent. And he did it. What he did do for the Lord's glory. And as we pray tonight, thanking God for Christ our sacrifice, coming on his merit, thanking God for his redeeming love, thanking him for his remaining love, thanking him for his restraining love, and how he's dealt with us in such a way that we're still coming along to the prayer meeting, we can seek him as his people, knowing the need for removing love, that he will deal with this pandemic. And that he will answer your prayers and mine. And that he will step into the situation and remove it. And in the meantime, that we will stay steadfast in our love and in our duty. There was fellowship that was deliberate. And then there was a heart devotion. But there was impacting deliverance. Daniel was delivered. You learned that when you were a little boy or girl, perhaps. He was delivered from the den of lions. But notice the remarkable, if you look at verse 24 in Daniel 6, the remarkable change in the king. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces forever. They came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages, that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now, that wasn't like him to do that. He is very haughty, remember, selfish, proud. It says, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Here's a man, and he's now indicating that Daniel's God is the true God. People no longer need to turn to him, but they need to turn to Daniel's God. The Lord, folks, can change the situation right around. Right around the whole nation where it is now. And I often, and I trust you know this anyway, often think of young people growing up and trying to make a way while in their job or career or some in a business or whatever, trying to make a way. And all around them, they're being confronted with corruption and lies and scheming and what we would call the craft of the world. And these are young Christians wanting to make their way the best they can and honour the Lord. Well, remember this, young person and older. The Lord can change the situation and turn it right around. He can change the hardest of hearts. And here, at the end of the chapter, we have God's cause promoted by Darius, the king leader of the Medes and Persians. And folks, I trust tonight that as we gather here, that we will have the same outlook as the psalmist in Psalm 116 and 1, where he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And Daniel loved the Lord, and you love the Lord, but with all the stress and anxiety, not to mention all the other difficulties that are going on in the province today, it's easy to become weary and discouraged. I trust that the Lord will help us, that we see the recipe here for staying devoted. Devoted in love and in duty was fellowship with the Lord. Deliberate fellowship with the Lord. We're on good ground tonight, folks, coming to the prayer meeting. We're going to get down and pray now.